What's up, NBA fans? Welcome back to another episode of Full Court Press, episode 43. I'm joined by Luke. What's up, man?
Hey, Nick. It's good to be back, man. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. Good to have you back, man. I'm Nick Smith, your host, as always. Dude, we got some breaking news. Joel Embiid is going to miss 2 to 4 weeks to undergo surgery to fix an orbital fracture on his left eye after the collision with Markelle Fultz. How concerned are you right now for – I'm not really terribly concerned for Embiid, but I'm very concerned for the Sixers. What are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. I mean, dude, this is a big loss for the Sixers. I mean, Embiid's their whole identity. He's a great player. He's having a phenomenal season. It's going to hurt him big time. It's going to put more pressure on Ben Simmons. We might see more out of Ben Simmons to be like, okay, this is the true rookie of the year. But it's going to be tough. I mean, Embiid brings so much to that team. I think the joy of basketball, you can just see him having fun out there. I love watching Embiid. He can stretch the floor. He can post you up, down, low. He just so much. So, I mean, it stinks, but I don't think it'll hurt the Sixers. And by them slipping out of the playoff now, seeding-wise, yes, definitely it'll hurt them that way, just trying to, I think right now they sit in, I want to say like fourth or fifth. Oh, they sit in fourth,
yeah.
So they would have home court advantage. But
yeah.
I could see them just slipping a little bit, but it's just a big blow. It stinks. It's just all these injuries, especially a freak accident, like running into your own player who just got back on the court. Maybe they're
right.
Communication and seeing eye to eye, or maybe they did see eye to eye. Oh, man. That's pretty too soon, I think. But yeah, it's just a big blow. What do you think about it, man?
Yeah, man, it sucks. We talked about it earlier this week. I mean, I kind of had their ceiling as a second-round team, but I was starting to, like, kind of wonder if they could nab that 3 seed, and if Boston, you know, if Boston wasn't, you know, at peak health, like with Kyrie and Smart, maybe they could sneak past Boston. I don't think they can beat Toronto. I just think Toronto's too experienced, too good. I thought if they kept the 4 seed, they could make it to the second round, but that they would lose to Toronto. Now, I mean, 2 to 4 weeks, I mean, if he's out longer than two, then that's going to be for the playoffs. And the playoffs start in 2 weeks. So, you know, yeah, I'm very concerned. I'm not too worried about the rest of their season. They have 8 games left in the season. They play Hawks, Hornets, Nets, Pistons, Cavs, Mavericks, Hawks again, Bucks. So it's a pretty easy schedule to finish out the season. So I think they'll keep the 4 seed. I don't think they'll jump Cleveland now, especially since they have to play Cleveland in one of these games. And I think Cleveland finishes out the season with 2 games against the Knicks. So, you know, they should easily win those two. So, you know, I still say that their ceiling is probably the second round, but that's only if they get Embiid back. Like, you're not beating Washington if they get John Wall back and you don't have Embiid. I just don't see that happening. And I feel like they're probably the Pacers actually. So yeah, I don't think you're beating the Pacers. Not if you don't have Embiid, you're not beating the Pacers. So yeah, I am definitely concerned for him. I feel so bad for Markelle Fultz right now too, because he's obviously he seems like a really nice guy. He's obviously had a lot of trouble this season. A lot of pressure was put on him, you know, for the fact that the Sixers gave up so much to get him. And, you know, he's obviously had his struggles throughout the whole season. And now this, at the worst possible time, it sucks, man. It obviously it's not his fault, but he seems like the kind of person who would act like it was his fault. You know what I mean? Like, Joel's going to have to text him and be like, bro, it's not your fault. Don't, like, you know, don't act like it is. Like, it's we'll be all right. Don't worry. It's a marathon, not a sprint. But yeah, what do you think about, as far as their playoff opportunities? Where would you have put their ceiling, before this injury, and you know, how does this alter it?
Oh, no, I mean, I definitely with you on, I thought they could have, with a full healthy team and Fultz coming back, you know, that kind of helped them out too, just a little bit more scoring and distributing the ball. I had them getting to the second round. I mean, right now I think it would have gone to the wire with maybe like six games with Indy if they were to play them. I think it would be like, that would be the ideal team right now. They wouldn't want the Wizards to hop up right there and then get John Wall and hopefully be back and try. So I think, yeah, definitely second round. But, man, yeah, this is it's going to hurt. I mean, they might be able to live through it. I mean, if you can get them back right as, like, two games in maybe, because you do, luckily,
yeah,
for the playoffs, you got more days between each game. So maybe it's a two, split one and one, you know, wherever you go, just split the first two games and all that and just hope for the best. But it does definitely, you know, it's going to be tough right now. I mean, no matter what, Philly couldn't be going into this playoffs thinking they're making it to the Eastern Conference Finals. So I think just making it to the playoffs was a big win, especially the process is finally over. It's the first time in 6 years. So I think this is like, no matter what, just them going back to the playoffs was great for Philly and just the whole town and just everything. Embiid being able to experience it, Simmons too, all that. So even Markelle Fultz getting the experience. So that's like right now the core three, you know, who they drafted high. I'm with you on,
yeah,
I hope this doesn't mess with Fultz's mindset, because not saying that his injury wasn't real, but his injury could have been a lot of mental this year, and this could be,
yeah,
a big-time mental block, like you know, kind of like Jaylen Brown, they were saying, like, he got really hurt on that dunk. Is he going to go up for ferocious dunks? Is that going to mess his mind up? Like, can this mess up his mind now on the floor? Like, am I doing the right thing right now? Am I spaced out properly? Me and him going to, like, I hope that doesn't mess with his mind and he just plays the game of basketball, because Markelle Fultz is a good player. I saw him play for Washington. I was a Celtics fan. I was cool with us drafting him in the beginning when I heard, because I was like, yeah, you know, this would be great. Him and Isaiah Thomas, I don't know what's happening with all, like, at that time when Avery Bradley and all of them were on the team, you know, they're going to be free agents. So I was like, I'd be down with this kid. So I just, it's a lot of mental, I think, with him right now, just his first year, just the whole NBA. I think he'll be fine in the end. You see kind of some flashes in the two games, or the first game, the second game didn't really do that great, but you see it, like, you can understand, but, man, I hope this doesn't mess with his mind. I think Joel will definitely text him. I think his sense of humor, too, will be like, yeah, dude, we're going to get through this. But, yeah, I think definitely if they get to the second round, they'll be good right now with Embiid coming back, maybe game three or game four.
Yeah, I will find it interesting to see what they do with the lineup. What would you think about them asking Simmons to play the center position? He's 7 feet tall. I mean, he's big body. I mean, he could do it. I mean, Magic Johnson did it, like, in his rookie year, no less, and, you know, in the biggest stage. That might be what's best for the team at this point. I mean, Fultz certainly looks like he can handle his own as far as distributing the ball and everything else. Like, maybe that would be something that they should consider if they're not going to have Embiid back in time for the playoffs. Like, go ahead and start experimenting with it, you know, just in case you don't get Embiid back. If it doesn't work, you know, no worries. But, like, I think that could be an interesting way for them to kind of still try to keep the most talent out on the floor. Because, I mean, next best option is Rashawn Holmes. And I mean, I like Rashawn Holmes, don't get me wrong. I think he's a very, very good quality backup. But do you want to play him 30 minutes a game? That's a tough proposition. If you can keep Simmons and Fultz out there together, I think the best way to do that would be to play Simmons at the center position, because I don't think that I don't think Saric can do it, and I just don't think he's big enough. And you just don't want to play Rashawn Holmes that many minutes. What do you think about that?
That'd be really interesting, especially like you said. I mean, Magic Johnson did it his rookie year. I mean, there's a lot of comparison to the game. I think he could do it. Simmons is definitely very knowledgeable of the game of basketball. He'd run into some tough matchups maybe, but if you really look at the East, it's not really dominated by centers. I mean, you're going against the Pacers, you're going against the Miles Turner, but Miles Turner isn't that much bigger than him.
Right.
Is Amir Johnson completely injured? Because, I mean, I know he's on their team, and not saying he's their savior, but, I mean, he did start a couple of games for the Celtics, so he knows that starting role. I don't know if he's injured. I know he should be over Rashad Holmes at least. So that would have been
right.
I could see. So, I mean, that's not the best option right now. I think if Fultz can figure out the game, now start experimenting with a couple of games. Like you said, you got the Hawks twice. I mean, Simmons already bashed on the Hawks already because he knows, you know, that's like a practice. So, you know, he's basically going to be like, hey, coach, let me try this out.
I just hope we don't go out there and, like, try to dominate them tomorrow night. Like, don't like.
Somehow
don't
you guys will.
Oh, I know. I know we will. Like, we'll go out and we'll just, like, we'll beat them by, like, 20 points. That would be a typical Hawks fashion. Like, you just got lucky with Memphis getting two wins in a row, and we would go out and do that. But that's true. Amir Johnson would have to be, I mean, at least for their veteran leadership. I probably like Rashawn Holmes a little bit more, at least from the playing time that he got last year. But, yeah, I mean – at least Amir Johnson has experience. So, yeah, I mean, I guess he would be your guy. And, you know, he's used to playing some five. I mean, he shared a lot of minutes with Al Horford last year. So, I mean, it's kind of flip a coin as to who's really your five. But he was more of the in-the-paint guy. It'll be interesting. It'll be very interesting to see – you know, how long this takes and, you know, what all they're going to do to try and get by. But let's move on. We got some Naismith Basketball Hall of Famers. Steve Nash, Grant Hill, and Jason Kidd will be inducted this year to the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. Just your general thoughts on these guys and them being inducted into the Hall of Fame.
All right, I'll talk about these guys, but I got a good one that I'm going to save that's just, man, what is happening with one person. But, I mean, all great. I mean, two definite for sure's, like, no-brainers. With Jason Kidd, I mean, he's third all times, I think, in triple-doubles right now. I mean, way up there in assists. I mean, phenomenal player just all around. Love to see him go out in the Nets jersey. That's what I kind of remember. I mean, yeah, he won the championship with the Mavericks, but, you know, definitely like to see him down that next. But so he was a no-brainer. Steve Nash, yeah, is 100%. He's probably the best player from Canada. I mean, you got to think about this. I kind of want to bring this one up. How badly do you think Mark Cuban is still kicking himself in the rear end for trading Steve Nash way back in the day because he didn't think him and Dirk would work, and you just trade him for a bag of chips, and that's basically a Hall of Famer. And you could have had him and Dirk the whole time. I just wanted to cut
but you won a championship, so you're not kicking yourself at all.
Yeah, I guess that's true. He won it a lot of years later, but I guess it's true in the end. He did win the championship. But man,
and they made it, like, what, 2 years after they traded him?
They made it, they got swept?
No, they didn't get swept. It was like 4-2, I'm pretty 4-2, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so. But Steve Nash, I mean,
Dwayne Wade was just unstoppable that series. Like, God,
yeah,
Dwayne Wade was so, so good, like, mid-2000s, like, 06, 07, 08. Like, whew, God, he was good. And, you know, got the last ounce of prime Shaq out of they got the last ounce of prime Shaq, so yeah, that was amazing. Yeah, Steve Nash is definitely the best Canadian player of all time. And honestly, I don't think Steve Nash is really regretting it because, you know, he got two MVPs out of it, you know? So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. What cracks me up, too, is, like, all, like, a lot of new people to basketball, like, younger age, they're all like, man, Curry, doing all these crazy passes and all this. Man, Steve Nash way back in the day. Back when he first went to Phoenix and all that, he used to have some of the craziest passes or finishes in the lane. Like, how did you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Or it was a little, like, weird setback. Man, I used to love watching Steve Nash, especially playing on the video game. Man, him, Grant Hill, Mari Stoudemire, that Phoenix team. Can't believe they couldn't do it. Weird Mario who is it that shoots weird? Is it Mario Chalmers that shoots weird? I think that, man, but that whole team, Steve Nash was, I mean, he was one of the original, like, he could throw some crazy, I mean, him and Jason Kidd, both great passers, so they were just no
brainer. Don't forget White Chocolate.
Now, Grant, yeah. Now, Grant Hill, here's, okay, he deserves it, don't get me wrong, but not right now. I think he snubbed someone that deserved it way over him, which I still don't understand how this person didn't get into the Hall of Fame. But, I mean, Grant Hill had a great – I mean, he's definitely should be here where he is right now. I mean, he's a 7-time All-Star, 5-time All-NBA. I mean, if he didn't get injured in his prime and run into these weird injuries that kept on lingering on him, how better would Grant Hill been? Like, could he – help the teams win the championships when he needed. I mean, like I said, that Phoenix team, man, they just got hurt that year and it just huge downfall.
Yeah,
but
he and T-Mac in Orlando could have been dynamite had they just stayed healthy.
So,
he had two guys who couldn't stay healthy there.
So many. Here's my thing is, okay, so Jason Kidd, I let me ask you what jersey you would think they'd be in. So I think Jason Kidd, Nets. I think Steve Nash, Phoenix. Grant Hill's the only one that I've got torn between because he played for Detroit all his years.
Yeah, Detroit.
Years. He played for Orlando where he got hurt, but, you know, he should have been good and all that. And then he played for Phoenix at the tail end of the year where he kind of reestablished himself, got a couple more All-Stars. Grant Hill's the only one that I'm kind of like, are you Detroit? Which is kind of just because you got drafted, you played 6 years, and you played 6 years in Phoenix, or is it Phoenix that you – definitely reestablished, you weren't hurt anymore, you got away from Orlando and those lingering injuries that you just couldn't do with T-Mac and just, so I just, Grant Hill's the only one that I just don't know what jersey he's wearing.
I would go with Detroit, but I know what you mean, like, Phoenix was great for him, that was like the resurrection of his career. Because it just did not work out in Orlando, unfortunately. But yeah, I would still go with Detroit because that was the best version of Grant Hill as an NBA player that we ever got to see. But you know what? I mean, it's the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. It's not the NBA Hall of Fame. So maybe he wants to have his Blue Devils jersey. I mean, that's when he won two championships. So I wouldn't put that past. I don't know if that's an option, but I know, like, basketball is, like, kind of the one sport where it's not – the Hall of Fame is not just about, you know, your NBA career, but your career as a whole. So, I don't know. Maybe that's an option. But, yeah, definitely Phoenix.
I can definitely see him doing Dookie.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I would hate it because I think Grant Hill is just better than that.
I can just see him. I mean – but I think it's Detroit with you. But let me see the other ones.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, I would definitely go with Phoenix for Steve Nash. That's where he won his MVPs. He played there for two different cycles. And for Kidd, it's tough. That one's a little tougher for me because he won the championship with Dallas. And he
with
also played for Dallas. And he played for Dallas, like, before he played for Brooklyn. I think he was drafted by Dallas. He played for Phoenix for a little bit, and then he ended up in – or not Brooklyn, New Jersey at the time. I just feel like that was when he was in his prime, when he was on those Nets teams with Richard Jefferson and who else was on those? Was Kerry Kittles on those teams, or was he retired by them? I can't remember.
I want to say –
Boy,
Ockovich on that
around.
Team, Jane Threes for them?
I don't think so. I think Stojakovic was on the Kings when he was there, but he might have left.
He was. That was
then.
The Kings
remember.
Team.
Yeah. But nevertheless, I mean, those Nets teams, they, I mean, they were, that. What, they made it to two? I think they made it to two NBA Finals. They lost to the Lakers and then lost to the Spurs. But to make it a back-to-back NBA Finals, like, and Jason Kidd was, like, definitely the best player on that team. Now, that was when Richard Jefferson was still crazy good. But nevertheless, like, yeah, I would probably go with the Nets. I mean, I think that makes the most sense as far as Yeah, for the same reason that I would go with Detroit, because that was the best version of Jason Kidd. So, I would go with the Nets. Who's the guy that you think should who got snubbed?
Dude, so I'm coming out with it right now, man. I think it's the year of Ray Allen not getting invited to things, man. How? How did Ray Allen not? This is a for sure yes. Like, okay, you're the all-time threes leader in one category, so that's automatically yeah. So here's my kind of weird theory behind this right now, Nick. So check it. Do you think they didn't retire him because he would retire from Seattle, but Seattle's not an organization right now? And then they didn't retire him right now because they're like, ooh, Seattle's not here. We could possibly be expanding in a couple of years, and he could retire once they come back. Like, how do you not get on the first, like, it should have been the three when I saw the nominees when it came out in December. And I was like, oh, three for sure, Jason Kidd, Steve Nash, Ray Allen. You know, and then you can shoe in maybe Grant Hill, Chauncey Billups, Richard Hamilton, but what? Ray Allen just didn't get invited to this? Like, man, he's getting hated on. I guess he should have never left the Celtics.
Is that the deal with it? There's only three a year?
There's three, and then usually like the player, the non-player kind of thing. I forget who was it this year that got it, but yeah. I think
right.
It is. Well, no, actually.
Like a sportscaster or a coach or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man,
okay. Because I know baseball is different.
Nuts.
Like baseball is like a voting. Because I mean, I feel like that's the bigger one when you talk like Hall of Fame, is like Cooperstown and baseball and all that. But I know baseball is different. Like they don't have a set number. You just have to get a set amount of votes, and then whoever makes it. I believe is how baseball is. I could be wrong about that though. But okay, so yeah, I get your argument. And the only reason that I will, that is so tough. Like I would definitely say Jason Kidd and Steve Nash are over Ray Allen. But Grant Hill, like, it's like,
that's not happening in my mind. Ray Allen's better
than
Grant
Hill. Well, of course not. You're a Celtics fan.
He wasn't injured. No, but
I
mean, I'm just saying he wasn't injured.
A little biased.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm definitely a little biased. I mean, dude, he hit some clutch shots, the two different, NBA champion. I'm going to hold that over Grant Hill. I hate to put that for Grant Hill, cause it's always one of those players. I just was, you know, thought he should get a championship. So he has that. It's just, I think Ray Allen just a better player than Grant. Now, don't get me wrong, Grant Hill doesn't get injured. Now we're talking a whole different game.
Really, yeah, I was going to say, I don't think Ray Allen is a better player. I think Ray Allen had the better career.
Career, yeah.
I think that's fair to say. I mean, Ray Allen single-handedly saved LeBron's legacy. Like, I mean, and like, even LeBron fans, like, as much as they, like, I shouldn't say LeBron fans, because, I mean, I feel like you have to be insane not to be a LeBron fan, but like the diehard, you know, LeBron fans, like even they like have to admit it, you know, it's like when the people use it at the wrong time, like they try to use it for the Jordan LeBron debate, and it's like, hey man, John Paxson, he made that clutch shot too, or Steve Kerr, or, you know, there's always, you know, you always have to rely on your teammates at some point, but yeah, like, I mean, he saved them from losing that championship. So, yeah, and he has two rings as opposed to, you know, the other guy having none. Grant
he holds
Hall
a
none,
record.
So
holds a
that
record.
Too. For most
that is just
three,
an
that
automatic.
Record won't stand up, but as of now, he definitely holds it. No, I'm with you, man. I think – for longevity's sake, the fact that he's won two rings, the fact that he's the all-time leader in three-point shots made, like, yeah, I agree. I would have pushed Grant Hill, I would have waited on Grant Hill, and I would have given it to Ray Allen, yeah, for sure. So, I that's a good one. I didn't even know he was up for the nomination, so shout out Ray Allen. Jesus Shuttlesworth.
Oh, yeah, Jesus Shuttlesworth, man. Original.
Damn
man.
Right. He's a good actor, too. Like, he was really
oh,
good
yeah,
in that
dude.
Movie. Yeah.
He's the best
solid.
Basketball player in the world because he was the best basketball player in the world.
Well, he certainly was instrumental in both rings that he got. So that's undeniably true. But hey, let's move on. Speaking of Hall of Famers, talk about a future Hall of Famer. LeBron, he's tied Michael Jordan's consecutive games with double-digit points at 866 games. He also, just a couple games ago, became the oldest player to log 2,000 points, 500 rebounds, and 500 assists in a season. Dude, like, how crazy is it that LeBron is still playing at this peak level this late in his career? I mean, granted, he started earlier, but the guy has so much mileage on those tires, and he is still playing. He still gets better every single season. It's crazy. I'm so envious of it, because it's like, you want your guys to do that. Like, you know, so many of my favorite teams, like, have just kind of, you know, you go into the season, and I mean, I'm sure you can relate to this with Boston. Like, you know, Boston, like, KG doesn't get hurt. Like, that's a completely different story. And LeBron just never gets hurt. He's never had a serious injury. And in fact, we'll just go ahead and tag this one in there too. Maverick Carter recently said LeBron James spends $1.5 million a year on cryotherapy, hyperbaric chambers, Normatec leg boots. I don't even know what the fuck a Normatec leg boot is, but LeBron does. Personal chefs, trainers, and other things to maintain his body. How impressed are you with LeBron's sustainability, and how crazy is it that, like, he spends $1.5 million on his body to just, you know, every year just to keep that sort of peak performance?
Dude, he's a freak. He's a freak, man.
Yeah.
I've hated him. I hate him for so long. I never wanted to admit he was good. He was like the arch nemesis for a long time, man. At one time in the Celtics, like prime 2008, when like we weren't losing, he dunked on the whole team. And I kid you not, he dunked on the whole team. It's still a huge play in playoffs. I mean, I hated this guy, dude. I just always hate him, but he's the best player, man, in the world. I mean, hands down, I understand Jordan and all this, but for one person that's never really, I mean, I became a huge fan of him 2 years ago. He's the best. It's crazy that we get to live during this, to see him. I mean, came straight out of high school. He's just such a trend-setting player. He's really good. I mean, you just said 866 consecutive games of double-digit points. I mean, he does it with ease. I feel like he could just do it in the first quarter if he just was seriously like, I'm going to dunk it five times. I could just dunk it five times. I mean, no one's stopping me. You're going to foul me if you can foul me. But he can just drive it on anyone at will. So he can just score. I mean, that's just a crazy. I mean, he's so old right now. I mean, he's not really old, but I mean, he's old. I mean, he's probably got like five more years added on to his knees because of just how many playoff series he's gone to the wire. I mean, like with Kobe and all them. And then this other one, I mean, 2,000 points, 500 rebounds, 500 assists. I mean, geez, if James Harden wasn't doing James Harden things, LeBron James is 100% the MVP. I mean, no matter what, he could win it every year. But this is definitely, I mean, he can win this right now. I mean, that's ridiculous. What is he, 34 years old, and he's doing this? He's playing every minute.
33 or 34, somewhere in that range. Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, to play a lot of minutes, it's not like he didn't play every minute last year.
He played every game this season.
Yeah, he hasn't sat. It's just, it's crazy. And then to get to the Maverick Carter thing, I mean, yeah, if I was LeBron, I'd do the same thing. I mean, I got this freak body. I mean, I'd be knocking on wood every day. It's like you said, I mean, he's never ran into a big injury. I've definitely hoped, I mean, you never want to hope that, but, I mean, being a huge fan of a rival team, especially I've always felt the Celtics and LeBron were a good rival. I mean, them and the Cavs. So it's just, I've always hoped for the best. He just never gets hurt. Even when he goes down, you're just like, oh no, please. Like, is it going to be? And then he just gets up and he shrugs off. You're like, you're a freak, like a freak human. I mean, him and Tom Brady must be doing the same thing. Just having this weird secret of like, hey, how can we just stay in? And I don't even know what that boot is, but I bet it's his legs just coming out feeling like they're like, 18 years old again, just like fresh.
Yeah.
Like I didn't just play 80-something games of basketball and my legs are just done. No, like I'm fine and I could go play some more basketball. I mean, he's been doing it since he graduated high school. I mean, dude, he's probably one of the most transcending people of our lifetime. I mean, very, very smart man. I hate him, but I think he's the greatest. I have to say that. Like, you can't deny how good he
there's
is.
There's a respect. Like you have to, no matter whether you love him or hate him, you have to respect him. I don't love him. I don't hate him. He played for Miami. I never dogged him for going to Miami because Cleveland had a garbage team around him the first time he was there, and it was just so obvious. The fact that he drug that team to the finals past the Pistons back in like 07, that was a miracle, you know, unto itself. I did root for them so hard that year because I've never been a huge Spurs fan. But I never liked the Miami Heat. Like, I just never was a huge fan. I rooted for Dallas in 06, rooted for Dallas in 2012, or 2010, rather, or 11. Fuck, I can't remember. One of those years. You have to respect him. And also, interestingly enough, he's not only the oldest person to log 2,000 points, 500 boards, and 500 assists in a season, he was also the youngest to do it. He's remarkable. Like, he's easily the greatest player of his generation. And the thing is, I still have MJ ahead of him. And it's not because, MJ's 6-0. You know, MJ's got 6 championships. It's how clutch MJ was. One of the biggest things. Oh, no, he was. Don't let anybody tell you
I know,
he
but LeBron
clutch.
Is, too. LeBron's been on a lot of my spotlights. Like, they both have been
different.
Pretty clutch. I mean, LeBron, at the beginning of his years, he used to love brick all the time. But LeBron's pretty clutch, too. If you really look at it, MJ has those more memorable points that did I just push off of you against the Cleveland Cavaliers or did I just slip off of you against the Jazz? So, I mean, he has more memorable, but LeBron has a lot of clutch points. Like they're both really clutch.
Oh, dude, I still maintain the greatest single quarter of basketball that I have ever seen is comes down to two different people. It's either Klay Thompson shooting or scoring 37 points in a quarter because that shit was just crazy. I was watching that live, and I was watching live LeBron in the fourth quarter against the Detroit Pistons in 2007. Like, that was the point where I was really like, oh, my God, this guy is just amazing. Like, he scored, like, 20-something straight points for his team to, like, close out that game. I want to say it was, like 27 or some shit. Like, he scored all but 4 points in the fourth quarter, I believe, in, like, the last 27 of them. Like, it was something ridiculous like that. It's not a knock on him. It's just, like, when you get down to, like, the nitty-gritty comparisons, like, Jordan's a better scorer, Jordan's a better defender, Jordan's the better post-up player, Jordan better free throw shooter, like more steals per game, less turnovers. Like, you know, then you got LeBron who is bigger, stronger. He's not really a better three-point shooter. That one pisses me off. LeBron's gotten really good at shooting threes like the past 2, maybe 3 seasons. But like historically, if you look at his record over the course of his career, is not better. And Jordan got really good at threes in the twilight of his career because he had to. It's kind of the same way that LeBron James is doing it. Only Jordan did it in an era where you didn't absolutely have to. He just constantly evolved his game, which is what LeBron does too. LeBron's got his marks. He's a better passer. That's undeniably true. Better rebounder because he's bigger, he's stronger. Better court vision. They both had huge basketball IQs. So, I mean, it just I probably more blocks per game, but I doubt it's that much more because Jordan was such a good defender on the perimeter, and because everything was, like, one-on-one in that era, like, I imagine he got his fair share of blocks against, you know, other shooting guards. But, yeah, I mean, I just think you just look at them player to player and just kind of set aside their legacy. Like, legacies aside, I still think Jordan ekes it out. But, I mean, you throw in legacy and it's a no-brainer for me. But nevertheless.
I really want to debate you on this one. I'm sorry.
I want to go right ahead,
old school, new school, but, man, no. Like, I'm sorry. Like, trust me, I like Jordan way better. I'm a huge Jordan fan. LeBron's a better player. I mean, you said a couple of things like that. I'm just like, no, I don't think that free throws. Yes, definitely. LeBron's a horrible free throw. Now, inside, now a pull up and all that in perimeter game, I'll give you that. Now, you said post up. LeBron can post up anyone. He can push you up down low and you're not fighting.
LeBron does not post up.
Unstoppable.
He doesn't do it. He does not.
Not anymore,
post
but
up.
When he used to. But when he – no, I'm saying – but not like a post-up pull-up. But when he posts you up and he wants to bring you down low, like, I've seen LeBron make some centers look dumb. Like, you're posting up some big men and you're making them just look stupid. Like, LeBron can do every – like – and defender,
dude,
I mean, yeah,
not
Jordan –
not even close to MJ's post-up.
LeBron would destroy.
Dude, when MJ would post people up,
did you ever see Jordan running down a human being like this? He's got slicker hands. But LeBron is going to murder the defender. Yeah, like, I would give it look like Jordan has more, like, defending champs, I want to say, but, like, a player of the year, but playing in a kind of like him or Akeem Olajuwon. But LeBron plays any position. LeBron is stopping any position. He's stopping point guard.
Yeah, LeBron's
stopping everyone, man.
That's fine.
But, like, I'm just saying, like, you got to give
say
it
that, the, that's undeniable.
Yeah, like, but there's just something, like, trust me, man, I want Jordan to edge, but I have, like, LeBron's just the best, man. Like, he's doing everything. Now, shooting threes, no, and kind of like a pull-up game, I've always said, like, LeBron back in the day, I used to always rag on him. He couldn't make a three unless it was, like, really deep and 5 feet out. So I used to love him, the fellas would play him and be like, yeah, get him to shoot a close three, or if he's inside the free throw line, he doesn't really have that game, but if he's driving the lane, unstoppable. Just no way of stopping him. I mean, he's going to either dunk it on you, post it up or anything. So, but, I mean, he's changed his game, man. So, I don't know, man. I'll give Jordan's 1-6, never lost. But 9 consecutive finals in a row. This guy's just been doing it.
Don't
he
get out of yourself.
He
it's
doesn't
seven.
Blink. Jordan got to take some years. I mean, he takes 2 years off. He also has a shortened. Didn't they have a lockout in his? LeBron dealt with the lockout.
LeBron. Actually, no, the lockout was in '99. That was a year after Jordan retired.
Yeah.
But LeBron had a lockout. It wasn't as long as.
I also
have
the whole
one,
Jordan's Wizard years against him, man. I'm sorry. I have to. I mean, he never came back.
No, I can agree with you there. And you know, like that's totally fine that's your that you can hold that against him. I mean, he elected to play. But you also I think what's more important if you're comparing them at this point is just like Kobe, like we saw what happened at the tail end of Kobe's career. LeBron's not at the tail end of his career. He's probably still got at least 5 years left. So, like, if you're going to count that, you need to wait until LeBron gets to the twilight, you know, the last year or two of his career and see how he plays out, you know, the rest of it when he's, you know, trying to chase all the all-time records, but his you know, game-by-game skill set isn't, you know, what it used to be. 'Cause that's inevitable. It happens to everybody. LeBron's just defied you know, what the human body can do, and he's prolonging it longer than anybody else has. But no, I mean, I it's a worthy argument. I still think if you really look at their games, I still think Jordan is the overall better player. He just is. I mean, he's that guy. He's the He's the GOAT. He'll always be the GOAT. The only way LeBron – well, there will always be people who refuse to see one side or the other. I don't consider me or you those kinds of people. But I think if LeBron wins – say he wins two more championships or even one more, he can start to be in the conversation. Because I don't buy into the whole, well, Jordan went 6-0 – like, yada, yada, yada. But for, you know what, and for the same reason, what pisses me off about, like, the diehard LeBron people who, like, refuse to even think that there is a conversation to be had is, like, well, LeBron never lost in the first round. And it's like, well, you can't use the argument that LeBron never lost in the first round and then turn around and say he made it to seven straight finals. How many of those did he win? So are we really good? Like, you know what I mean? That argument goes against both sides. So that's another one that drives me crazy is, you know, the 6-0 argument or the LeBron never lost in the first round argument. What are your thoughts on those things?
I don't know. I mean, I thought you were going to say for your argument that Jordan played with three Hall of Famers. I mean, because Jordan did. That's a huge one that I always hear. I mean, you get Scottie Pippen. Who's Scottie Pippen alone, I mean. Jordan not on that team. Scottie Pippen's great. I mean, he would have been a Hall of Famer just no matter what. So, and then
yeah,
you get Dennis
absolutely.
Rodman, who I never understood. Dennis Rodman, man, one of the greatest.
Did you realize
hard,
Dennis Rodman was
34
years old when he joined that team, though?
Yeah,
he
and he was still
older.
Amazing. No, he
yeah.
was still great.
I mean,
well,
he
didn't start
rebound.
Playing basketball until he was 22. I didn't think he
yeah.
made the NBA
sure.
until he was 25. So, yeah,
yeah,
that was his prime, unfortunately, 34.
No, that
dude,
wasn't
his prime. Well, I'm saying, like, yeah, Detroit, well, he's still figuring out basketball, but then you come to the
his
Bulls.
His prime was in the early
90s those,
in Detroit. Right
yeah,
after,
he won
right
all those
after
championships
Isaiah
with
like,
Detroit.
Fell off a cliff. Yeah, but, like, right after Isaiah fell off a cliff, that's when, like, his prime hit was, like, 92, 93. I think the only two All-Star games he made were 90 and 92, I believe. So, like, he was, you know, several years removed from making any sort of All-Star accolades. Never made an All-Star game when he was with the Bulls. He was there. He was a quintessential role player. But for people to act like Dennis Rodman was Chris Bosh is fucking ridulous. Like, Chris
what?
Bosh, way
dude,
better player than Dennis Rodman.
No. Dude, do you understand what Dennis Rodman was doing? At his size, he was 6'8", maybe 6'9".
Oh,
covering
it's remarkable.
People
he
like
got
Carl,
rebounds like
the
crazy.
Mailman
a,
Malone,
a,
who would elbow you
a,
and put in getting more rebounds.
He was a great defender
guy was
and a great
crazy.
Rebounder. He was,
yeah,
no, you have no
you
argument for me. He was no, and I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying if you're talking about the better overall player, like don't even come at me with Dennis Rodman against Chris Bosh. Like Chris Bosh in his prime was a better overall player than Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman was just the perfect fit for what they needed. They never had both teams are kind of similar in the fact that they never had LeBron-led teams, at least Miami anyway. They neither had an elite point guard and neither had an elite center. Which I think is kind of interesting in this kind of comparisons too. But
that was
no,
LeBron
Scottie
and LeBron
Pippen,
and LeBron.
Scottie Pippen, hell of a player. And even before you know they had Dennis Rodman, they had Horace Grant. And I will say that like, you know the as far as the championship arguments, I will say that I think that Jordan. I think people dismiss the teams that Jordan played like they weren't shit, which I think is a mistake. Those Jazz teams were great. That Seattle team was really good. Now the Lakers were you know very old. That was the last time they made a championship in that era. And same thing with the Blazers. But the Suns were also really good. Charles Barkley, Dan Marley, Kevin Johnson, those were some great teams that Phoenix had. So I will concede this though. The reason I bring that up is like Jordan definitely never had to play a team like Golden State. But he also didn't have the talent on his team, like the diverse talent that LeBron had. But that's part of that is just the era. There's more players. There are going to be more talented players on a team. And obviously LeBron had to do it because, you know, everyone was making big threes. But, hey, we got to move on, dude. We got so much more to talk about in about 45 minutes. We'll have a whole show at some point in time when we can, like, have all of our stats and everything, and we'll let, like, Joel judge it or something like that, all right?
Oh, definitely. But I'll
all right,
I'll
cool. Yeah, I'm totally down for that. That'll be fun. All right, moving on. Skip Bayless, the beacon of sports journalism credibility, recently said he has a reliable source that says Dwayne Wade and Pat Riley think they'll be able to convince LeBron James to return to Miami this offseason. You going to buy or sell that?
I'm not going to buy it just because Skip Bayless, I mean, who told him that? Here's where I didn't believe it. Skip Bayless having a reliable source. Who trusts Skip Bayless?
That's where he lost.
I was just like, this is fake news right here. Skip Bayless don't got no reliable source. He probably looked himself in the mirror. It's like, LeBron going to the Heat. But now here's where I got to give it to Skip Bayless. If any team, I don't think LeBron's leaving. I've been telling my friend this all year, this huge Lakers fan in his sister, we bought this house. He's not leaving anywhere. I wouldn't leave at this time in my career. Just stay in Cleveland, dude. Don't get any more ridicule. Just end it out in Cleveland, even if it's going to go down. They're doing whatever you say. Every year they trade. Just your owner stinks. Just do. Like, I wouldn't leave. But the only team that I think that would make sense for him and him not get that much ridicule, going back to the Heat, person that could definitely do it, Pat Riley, one of the greatest negotiators that still have it. That's what I'd like to see, but in the end, I just don't see him really going anywhere. I mean, I know I've heard Houston, Philly, Lakers. I just don't see the reason. The only team that makes sense if you're going to leave to win a championship would be to go to Houston. I don't think he wants to do it to get all this ridicule. I think stay out in Cleveland. You do have some stuff you can work with. You still got a pick. You still got some things you can trade around. So I just think that he's going to end up staying, but I think, you know, it could come down. I mean, Dwayne Wade and Pat Riley, that's two great, it's his best friend, and Pat Riley, man. I mean, he already did it once in his prime of his career for LeBron, so what means not to come back? I mean, that to me, you don't get the most hate, kind of makes sense, and now it's like, okay, those are the two teams he played on in his career, with the Heat and Cleveland. Which LeBron is better? Which LeBron would you take? Not LeBron shopping around for championships or LeBron going to two young teams that I think in a couple of years have it, but there's just no reason if he's going to leave his team right now to go to those two teams.
Yeah, I wouldn't go to L.A. I definitely wouldn't go to L.A. I feel like the verdict is still out on Lonzo. Like, I don't think he's had a bad rookie year. I'm just not sold on him yet. And, you know, he's been banged up a lot this year, too. He's got some problems with his knees. And they don't have a marquee player. They just don't. Like, Brandon Ingram will be a marquee player. I feel very confident in saying that, but he's not yet. So it's essentially like, you know, do you want to go there to play with Paul George, but then you don't have a center, like, you, so you don't really have a well constructed roster. I don't know. I'm not a fan of Los Angeles. I do think Philly makes the most sense as far as you do have two guys on that team who are marquee players in Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Embiid's health is obviously concerning. And, you know, how well does LeBron fit with Ben Simmons? You know, LeBron likes guys who can, like, shoot. Ben Simmons can't shoot. Is LeBron going to completely alter his game to go to Philly? It's a lot of big questions. I think Paul George would make a lot more sense for Philadelphia than LeBron James. Although LeBron James could be like, yo, Paul George, yo, take a play out of my boy Chris Paul's playbook. opt in under the condition they trade you to Philly and I'm going to come join you. Like, because that's possible. They could totally pull that off. They have the cap flexibility to do it. And then you'd be looking at, you know, Simmons, Paul George, LeBron, Saric, and Embiid, and that would just not be fair at all. And again, I don't want to see that happen. Like, no, I'm with you. I hope he stays put. I don't think there's any chance he goes back to Miami. Like, you got a top pick coming in. Probably going to end up being Trae Young. Reports are he's already pretty like tight with Trae Young. He's going to be. But that's like, I know you laugh, but that's his kind of guy. Like a 3-point shooter. You know, like that's kind of guy that he wants on the team. He's also a good passer. Like he can take a year to learn behind George Hill. Because George Hill still got one more year. Well, he's got 2 years, but the last year is only $1 million guaranteed. I don't think they'll keep him. But yeah, draft Trae Young or go back to them. They'll draft Trae Young. He'll develop behind George Hill, as your backup point guard. Maybe, you know, maybe throughout the season he develops into the starter. It's certainly a, you know, possibility. That is, if you get a halfway decent coach who can develop talent. But yeah, I don't see the Miami thing happening at all. It's funny because I thought about it today, thought about how they can make it work. Because again, I think LeBron would have to opt in and request to be traded to Miami. So what is Miami going to offer back that can make it work? If you combine the contracts of Hassan Whiteside and Justice Winslow, that gets you like the base minimum amount of cap that you would have to take back in that trade. Plus, they do own their 2019 first-round pick because of the way they constructed their trade with Phoenix. They sent their 2018 and 2021 first-round picks to get Goran Dragic. So you'd be looking at a team with Dwayne Wade, Deion Waiters, LeBron James, Goran Dragic, I'm sorry, would be your starting point guard, James Johnson, and then Kelly Olynyk and Bam Adebayo. Of course, they're going to win the East as long as LeBron is still LeBron. But is that going to be Golden State? No. So why go through all that if you're still not going to be Golden State? My biggest thing. But yeah, I'm with you. Dude, stay in Cleveland. Like, stay in Cleveland. You know, the Tristan Thompson contract, you know, won't be there forever. And neither will J.R. Smith. You got two more years on each of those contracts. Maybe you can move them. You got a top pick coming in. George Hill for one more year. I don't know if they'll re-sign Rodney Hood or not. It's kind of a up and down thing for me. But, I mean, they have enough pieces on that team to where if he came back, they could tie it together next year. They just haven't had a lot of time to work together this year. But we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. Anything to add on that before we move on?
Well, here's what I was just laughing at. I'm not saying Trae Young's bad. I just think they're not going to keep it and they're going to trade it because anyone in this draft right now is not helping LeBron, especially Trae Young. He's going to be a great player, but it's going to be 3 years until he's really doing something. I mean, playing against a lot of good point guards, you're not really stopping. I don't really see him coming to me. Small man.
I think it could be 1 year.
Joining the NBA was.
I think it could be 1 year.
It took Steph a couple of years. It took Steph like 4 years to start coming relevant. Like,
yeah, no. I'm not saying that. I mean, they had to develop a system.
I just think you trade it no matter what.
I think it depends on what you get for him in the trade.
Kimba Walker. I think Kimba would be perfect with LeBron. And I think LeBron sees it too. And you could maybe, even if you could trade out Kevin Love or something or just do the pick, like, you can make it happen. But I think Kemba Walker would be good with LeBron. Now I'm trying to think of who else if you want to trade this pick. I mean, you got to go point guard. You got to give him someone. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're going to draft a point guard, I'd rather trade the pick and get an established point guard because I know I could probably go, like, maybe I don't see Michael Collins. The contract would never work out money-wise, so I don't see that one. But I'm just saying I would see them realistically trading it if they're going to draft. Now, the only player I could see maybe drafting that could make sense playing with LeBron and helping him out in another year would be if he's not injured and his back's 100% is Michael Porter Jr. Just because it's another big guy who can space the floor and he's got a really good IQ. And that would, but other than that, I don't see anyone in this draft helping LeBron out right now, getting over the Golden State hump, if that's what you're looking at using this pick for.
Yeah, it's just a question of who you trade him for. Kemba Walker's not bad. I mean, the thing is, like, if I'm trading for Kemba Walker, is a number 7 overall pick, like, is that worth Kemba Walker?
I think you'd switch. You would do something maybe like you get Charlotte, because Charlotte is still going to be, are they making the playoffs? No, so you're still going to get a lottery. So switching picks and doing some weird contract negotiations to make it work
out.
Yeah,
I could see that.
But you're not giving the straight up 7 pick. I'll give you that. Kemba Walker ain't worth that.
I would do that if I was Charlotte at that point, though. That's the reason why trades are so tricky. Like, I'm moving up from 11 to 7, but giving up Kemba Walker, like, I don't know about that. Like,
yeah, I don't know either. I just don't see anyone in this draft. I'm with you. It's a weird thing. Like, when they got this pick from Boston, I was like, I don't know. Like, it depends on where they land to. That's a big one.
That's true. Because if they land at number 2 or something like that, and you can get, like, a Luka Doncic.
Luka, ooh, I knew you were going to say it. Now, he would be perfect with LeBron.
That would be
LeBron's guy.
Like,
oh,
that
man,
would
that'd
be
nightmarish.
And that would be the one guy who could step in and contribute to that team immediately. Like, already, he's been a professional player for 3 years. That would be the perfect fit. In fact, I will guarantee that if they get Luka Doncic somehow, whatever, that LeBron would stay at that point. He's an NBA philosopher, a basketball philosopher. He knows the game. He would see that talent and would be like, all right, like, let's roll it back. We're gonna put Luka in at that 2. He's gonna play with George Hill, which is exactly the type of player that Luka should play with. Like somebody who can kind of play that combo role, of, you know, spot up shooter and good defender next to him. Yeah, I agree. It's going to depend a lot on where that pick falls. But nevertheless, I really hope that LeBron stays put. But let's move on. We have a interesting thing that ESPN released. They listed their thoughts on the most impactful NBA players of all time. Did you get a chance to see that list, Luke?
Yeah, I did. I liked it. I mean, I agree with it.
I wanted to ask just, like, a general question. What was the thing that stood out to you most on that list? Like, whether it be, like, somebody who was snubbed or somebody who was way lower than they should be, way higher than they should be, you know, however you want to look at it, but what stood out to you?
Oh, there's a couple. I mean, I like how they gave respect to some of the older people that we might not have watched, but they definitely deserve the respect, like Bill Russell being in the top 4. So I think that
Bill
one, another one that was kind of crazy is Kobe fell out of the top 10, which in my mind, it's just like he played in this era where he's stuck between Jordan and LeBron, but Kobe, I mean, he's got a saying, Kobe, you throw anything, you shoot a ball across the room to a trash can, you're throwing and trying to eat Kobe. You're saying Kobe's name. I mean, how is that not transcending? I mean, that was kind of crazy, but I did like how, like, they gave respect and honor to, like, the players that have been before a lot of our times, and not a lot of us might have gotten to see. But I agree completely. I mean, it's Jordan's number 1. And LeBron's number 2. I mean, there was no way around that. So I agreed. I just liked how I feel like in my mind, it was like most of the pack. I was going to say transcended to the game, And I feel like we have two players in our generation that definitely have changed the game. Like, LeBron's changed the game. The game had to change around LeBron. Now you're getting all these guys that are big, they can play anything and all that. Now we get another player. Now he's still young into this, but, I mean, Curry, man, I mean, what he's done to the whole game, I mean, he's made the whole basketball landscape change. Like, he's literally made the game change. Now you got these kids shooting these crazy threes and all that.
Yep.
You have to cover, so that's awesome. So I feel like it's cool that we get to see it somewhere. And then I put Kevin Durant up there.
Number 10 is too low for Curry. He needs to be higher than that, for sure.
I was thinking top five, but then it was just – when I was really looking at the top, like, the people in front of him, but, like, it's – I got, like, to put him in top five, it was just, like, I couldn't really – once I kind of understood it and read
we'll
it,
say
I was
this,
like
though. Maybe not top five, but easily, like, above a guy like Oscar Robertson. Like, I love Oscar Robertson. He is definitely in my top 10 greatest players of all time. He is not in my top 10 most influential NBA players of all time. Like, most of his games aren't even – you can't even go back and watch them. They weren't even live. Like, or they weren't even televised. So, like, that one to me didn't make a whole lot of sense. Like, but, like, here's the thing that I think is difficult when you're making a list like this. It's, like, influential to who? Influential to you and me and most people who watch ESPN, or influential to the game at the time? Like, because if you're talking about influential to the game at the time, sure, like, I could see Oscar Robertson making that list. I mean, I'm sure that he probably influenced a lot of people. I mean, hell, Charles Barkley still has him as the number two greatest player of all time. You know, there's a guy that I talked to on one of the sports pages I follow, who's like an older guy and used to, like, lives in Cincinnati and used to watch him back when he played for the Cincinnati Royals, and just swears he is the greatest player to ever play the game. I get it on that level, but, like, as far as for people like us, it's like influential. But no, I'm with you. I think Michael's number one. LeBron's number two. I think that's kind of almost a 1A and 1B. Because I get the thing with Michael is, like, the branding and everything, but LeBron is, like, the dude who's, like, empowered players to a point that, you know, Jordan never was able to achieve. I mean, obviously he was always comfortable in Chicago, but, like, the way that LeBron has been able to empower other players to make their own decisions and not be boxed in by organizations has been something of huge significance. And also just his willingness to speak out on polarizing issues, which is something like Jordan never really wanted to do. So I think there's an argument to be made. I would say this. I think there's a better argument to be made that LeBron James is more influential than he is greater than MJ.
Ooh, now I'm on the counter one. Now we're having a counter argument. We got to write these down. Now we're disagreeing on this one. But, no, I got another one that was really surprising too, which I kind of feel like just because he wasn't a big talker and all that, but Tim Duncan getting 24? Like, what?
Yeah.
Tim Duncan.
You know what stood
like,
out
I understand,
me, man?
Like, you don't see a big voice, but that's Mr. Fundamentals, man. They didn't take away the way the bank shot and make it look dumb, like no one want a bank shot anymore. Tim Duncan's way up there. I mean, the guy never missed a playoff. I mean, champion. I mean, he should be way higher than 24.
Yeah,
like, I'm looking at the list right
champion.
Now, and like,
yeah. Oh,
like,
no, you know
the
one that stood out the most
there.
To me? The one that stood out the most to me, bar none, the Steph Curry at 10 was definitely like a little like, wow, like this guy has totally revolutionized the way the game is played, or been like the biggest instrument in doing that. But no, Shaq. Shaquille O'Neal at number 17. What do you call it, Luke, when somebody fouls a guy intentionally so they have to shoot free throws?
The Hack-a-Shack, man. The Hack-a-Shack.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, there is a term to forever define the only way that the whole league could try to stop Shaq. It is called Hack-a-Shaq, and everybody knows it. It's a Hack-a-Shaq, a Hack-a-DeAndre, a Hack-a-Howard, whoever the player is. It came out of Shaquille O'Neal because nobody could stop him. He was a movie star, not a great movie star, but he starred in movies, nevertheless. He had like rap albums. Like, his cultural significance is huge, and his play on the court, like, everybody was trying to figure out how to stop Shaquille O'Neal for the better part of a decade, and no one could do it. And I think it's a joke that he is 17. Like, he should easily be in the top 10. Easily. Same thing, like, with Steph. Like, I think if I had to put together a top five, I get it that, like, you know, you like kind of older guys, you know, those kind of pioneers of the league being up there. But I think I would have to make it, like,
I'd switch
LeBron.
Him with Wilt. I don't think Wilt
LeBron
is to be up there.
Yeah, like, I mean, because Wilt was just, like, so much better than everybody else, except for Bill Russell. And, like, yeah, I don't know that necessarily the impact.
Bill Russell,
he had the societal impact, like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, like, being outspoken on you know, Jim Crow and things of that nature. So I get that. But I kind of agree with Wilt Chamberlain. It's tough. It's like, what do you value more? But I definitely think Shaq should be in the top 10. I would agree with Bill Russell. I think Wilt could slide down some. But there's several guys above, like, Hakeem Olajuwon above Shaq, like, no. Kevin Garnett above Shaq, no. Like, Charles Barkley above Shaq, no. Like, none of those guys deserve to be above Shaq. As far as, like, influential, like, it's just, no, not at all. Allen Iverson, Allen Iverson could definitely be above, because Allen Iverson was Steph Curry before Steph Curry was Steph Curry. Like, he was the guy who was, like, the everyman's ball player, like, just, like, 6 foot nothing, and, like, was just, you know, that Allen Iverson was absolutely my favorite NBA player when I was a kid, and part of that was because he was the best pound-for-pound player, meaning he was so good and yet, like, so, like, regular as far as his build. But anyway, we got to move on. We got about 20 minutes left. I do want to talk about a couple more things. Karl-Anthony Towns shot 56 points last night against my Hawks. He had 15 boards to boot. That's the third highest scoring game for a player this season, behind James Harden's 60 and LeBron's 57. You still think the T-Wolves are going to miss the playoffs, or you think maybe Towns can carry them and get them there?
Oh, no, he's carrying them again, man, unfortunately. But I'm sorry, man, to lie to you.
Don't say unfortunately, man. I need that pick.
No. They're going to make the playoffs, but you're going to get that pick. If they don't make the playoffs, you don't get the pick.
I was saying,
unfortunately for you, like, being a Hawks fan and seeing that franchise record, I just think it's too funny, man. I mean, you have to see the video if you haven't seen it. Ben Simmons playing PUBG, talking to Carl Anthony Towns, and he's man, where you going? Why don't you play on this game with me? And he's like, man, I got a game tomorrow. He's like, who you playing? He's like, the Hawks. He's like, man, you don't got to worry about that. So
yeah.
He does
Simmons
tweeted out to him today, and he said, man, I told you you didn't got to worry. That's just too funny to me, man. That's just hilarious. He's dogging. He's dogging out there, boy. I mean, Karl-Anthony Towns is good. That's why it's, like, stinks, because, like, him and Jimmy Butler are good, and then, like, you see this kid, like, Andrew Wiggins, like, man, you guys can be so good. They're young, and then you're just like, man, Andrew Wiggins, never mind. What the heck are you doing? What are you, like, I don't know, man. I just don't know. So, but I think that he will somehow limp them in there. There's only a couple games back. I don't see them sliding down. I mean, it is very close to, in the West, so, but I don't see them slipping to, where are they right now? They are.
They're in seventh. Yeah.
Oh, man, I didn't know they're in seventh.
Yeah, no, I mean, I just don't see. I don't see, like, the Clippers have a relatively, they have a pretty tough schedule.
I would lose if I was the Clippers. I would want to lose. If I was the Clippers, I played this year that we traded Blake Griffin, we weren't really going for the playoffs. I want two picks in the lottery that I could possibly take that Detroit and Clippers pick and be like, I want to move up to seven, and here we go, and I want to get this player. Or I want to draft two people in this lottery that this draft is supposed to be better than the last year's draft, which is kind of intriguing.
Yeah,
the last year's draft just looks so good.
Yeah, especially since, like, Colin Sexton is as – you know, there's no team out there that he, like, really fits with that, like, would be drafting before the Clippers. Like, I could certainly see the Knicks taking him. But if the Knicks don't take him, I think he'll be available there. So, you know, like, getting Colin Sexton at, like, 12 is a fucking steal. Like, I mean, that's great. So, yeah, I kind of agree with you there. But, you know, I can't blame them for going out there and competing though. They have a pretty tough schedule. So does Denver. In fact, Minnesota plays Denver twice to in the next 2 weeks to close out the season. So those will be really interesting games to watch. I hope they're on NBA TV or something, because those will be really fun to watch. I think Towns will limp them into the playoffs. Dude's a stud. It's ridiculous that he's third on field goal attempts on that team. You know who's number one? The guy who complained
Andrew
about
Wiggins.
Being the third option. Yeah. Yeah, he's number one in field goal attempts on that fucking team. I guess maybe he's just not getting the shots that he wants. I agree with you. I say trade him. Like, find something that works, that's a reasonable trade for two different teams and conduct it. You may not get the best player back in the deal, but maybe you get a draft pick, or maybe you get a young player who could develop into somebody who's quintessential to your team's success. I'm all about that. Kemba Walker became the all-time leading scorer in Hornets franchise history. And was very emotional after the game. Like, he couldn't even talk for, like, 2 minutes. Like, he was, like, bawling and shit. This guy obviously loves this team. And yet, he made it very clear earlier this week that he's tired of missing the playoffs and really, really wants to compete and wants to play on a playoff-capable team. What are your thoughts on Kemba Walker being the leading scorer in Hornets history? Actually, took the title from Del Curry, Steph Curry.
Del Curry.
Yeah, man. What are your thoughts on that? And you know, do you think it's a foregone conclusion that he will not be a member of this team next year?
I thought it was great for Kemba. I've been a huge fan of him ever since he left college. I thought he could win. I saw him play at UConn that final year. He won every tournament. I was like, this guy just has what it takes. He just knows how to win. I just thought it was great for him. Like, has he even made the playoffs with Charlotte, and maybe one or two times? I mean, I think he deserves – I mean, he's done so much for this team. I thought it was crazy. Del Curry, I didn't think would be the – when I thought of Charlotte, you know, I think of some other players in my mind that are good, but I guess they didn't play that long. But I just,
yeah,
I understand why he's so emotional. He's giving
like,
a lot
like Glenn
to the
Wright
city.
And what's the dude from UNLV who played there?
Larry Johnson?
Jamal. I'm sorry. What was it?
Larry Johnson?
Yes, Larry Johnson and Jamal Mashburn.
Yeah.
Like, all those guys.
Yeah.
Like, I would have thought one of those guys would have been it. But no, it was Del Curry.
So I thought that was a little crazy. But I thought it was good. I mean, I understood. He loves the city, but he's just like, what else can he do? You're not really doing the right picks. Like, I think they should work with him to trade him. I mean, no matter what, Charlotte's his love. He's going to probably, if he were to retire, he's getting retired by Charlotte. So, Charlotte's his true love. I just think out of respect, fakes, you make a trade happen for him. And you put him on a team that can compete with them. You don't put him in a shitty situation like a Phoenix, like a team that could make a trade and get you better in the long run. I think you should show him the respect. And I'm telling you, man, I'm standing by it. You should go to Minnesota. Like, if not to LeBron, I think he'd be great with Minnesota. So I'm going to stand by that one. I mean, that'd be so good. Kemba Butler and Karl Anthony Towns, whew, would not want to play that team. But I think it's due time. It was like Kevin Love with Minnesota. It's like, what else can I do for your franchise? I'm killing it. I set the record this 1 year for having the most double-doubles like ever. Like, help me out. We've never made the playoffs. Just trade me. And then they got Andrew Wiggins. And now look at Minnesota, what position they're in. Like, I think Charlotte, MJ makes some of the worst decisions ever. So I think Charlotte should just make one good decision and trade him. And they're already going to have a top pick. Just trade them and just start building. Just start rebuilding. Try to get some of these horrible atrocious contracts off.
Well, yeah, and it's funny you mention that because when you originally brought up the Timberwolves fit, and I actually think I wouldn't want to take Batum, but like if you could get Kemba, Jeremy Lamb, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, and Marvin Williams in exchange for Jeff Teague and Andrew Wiggins, that's not bad. I mean, first of all, Kemba Walker is better than Andrew Wiggins. Now, granted, you're going to have to pay him next season, but you already paid Andrew Wiggins. So, you know, like, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, that's not the worst-case scenario. Like, you know, even if you had to pay him a max contract, which I don't feel like you would have to do for Kemba, I feel like you would have to pay him a hefty contract. I don't think you would have to pay him a max contract. But it would be comparable to what you're already committed to for Andrew Wiggins. Maybe probably be a little bit more. But, like, the depth that you would be getting, though, I mean, you upgrade at point guard. I would start Jeremy Lamb. I would run with, because he can shoot threes, I would run with Kemba, Lamb, Butler at the three, Gibson and Towns, and then have a bench of Tyus Jones, Jamal Crawford, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, Marvin Williams, and Gorgeous Jane. Like, maybe if they had that much depth, Tom Thibodeau wouldn't run that team into the fucking ground playing everybody 40 minutes a game. Like, I don't know. I think that could be a good move. And Kemba Walker would definitely be, like, as of right now, the best player in that equation. I think Andrew Wiggins would be a worthy get for a team like Charlotte, who, you know, obviously Jordan said he wants to get, you know, another all-star caliber player. Andrew Wiggins could be that. He's got all the tools to be it. So, I just don't want to take Nick Batum. I'll take your, you know, three lesser bad contracts because they give me depth, but I'm not taking Nick Batum. I'm just not doing it.
Oh, Nick Batum's had a bounce back year, man. He's very versatile. He can space the floor. I feel like Jeremy Lamb and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist are horrible.
Jeremy Lamb is not horrible.
Jeremy Lamb is horrible, man. He's been on a lot of teams.
Not.
He's on his own, man. He's at best a sometimes a role player every sixth night. Like, he's not helping you. I wouldn't put him as a starter either. If I was, I don't even know. I mean, Marvin Williams, I gotta get you, but like, I just think Nicholas Batum, he got some injuries, but he's actually had a decent year this year. He can get triple double.
No, he's a good player.
He understands the game more.
He's not worth $25 million.
No, he's not worth $25 million. I'll give you that 100%. But you're already getting some bad contracts with the Marvin Williams and all those other. I'm just saying, that's why I like Nicholas Batum, because I think he could come in that starting lineup with Walker, Batum, Karl Anthony Towns, Butler, and Taj Gibson, and that's a decent. But you're not having as much depth as your trade, so I'll give you that. But it's just like, I don't know. I just think Nicholas Batum is a better player than Lamb, and and what's his face, Lehman, Mike Gilchrist, and that's what you would need at that
Kid
point.
Gilchrist,
like, that
he's
position.
really fallen off.
I don't understand Kid Gilchrist, man. I just don't. And I'm a Kentucky fan, man.
Can't shoot, and he can defend a little bit, but he's not like an elite defender. Yeah, he's a bench player, man. It sucks that they invested that much into him because, they have so many just decent players on slightly higher than what they should be paid contracts. See, but Jeremy Lamb's the only one who's not that because he's $7 million. And he's expiring. So, that's another reason why I would want to try to get Jeremy Lamb in that deal. Because, A, he's expiring. He's only $7 million. Even if you use him as, a bench player, even if you wanted to, start Butler at the two and then use him as a backup, whatever. I don't know. I agree with you. I think I'm very enamored and impressed and happy for Kemba Walker. He's got to be – they got to move him. Just like you said, just like Kevin Love, they got to move him. Real quick, before we get out of here, Isaiah Thomas going to have season-ending surgery on that calf.
I think it's his hip. It's his hip.
I'm sorry. Hip. But what a situation for IT. I feel so bad for the guy. I mean, his pocketbook just took a hit like no other. What are your thoughts on him getting, his surgery and, I know we talked about it a little earlier this season, but what do you think? Where do you think Isaiah Thomas ends up next season?
Man, I feel so bad for Isaiah, man. Especially, dude, he gave so much to the Celtics. He is such a good player too. It's so bad that the medical staff botched that injury so bad. It's like Kawhi Leonard. Like, you just lost the whole season for these guys for botching a thing, just put him in surgery like he should have. Now he's finally getting the surgery. I feel so bad on a contract year where he wanted to get this max money where he thought he would. I think he maybe not been a max player, but definitely in the 22, 24, I guess that is max money, the 20 to 24 million range and all that. He's a great, not a great, but he's really good. He can help out a lot of teams. He just knows how to do it. I mean, did it for 3 years at the Celtics and really changed their team, getting the Celtics over the humps and all that. I mean, they're supposed to be in a rebuild, so that was a big deal. I think he deserves so much, and it just sucks. And now it's it just sucks even more being the Celtics fan that it's almost we boned him over for how much he gave us, especially playing after his sister died and all that, and having these crazy playoff games and all that, and he literally gave every ounce that he could have for us, and then finally his body couldn't take it, and just all this, it just really stinks. I really hope for the best for him. I mean, I think he deserves to go to a team. I don't know what he's going to get. I mean, I always thought you and I wanted to Juwan were never really high on him getting paid. I think you guys had him 10 to 12 at most. I think he deserves it. He showed flashes of it, which that was good that he got those with the Lakers game, because now he can be like, hey, I got the proper help. You saw that he can still play and all that. Now that I got this surgery, let me try out for your team and all that and show. I think there's some teams that might take a swing on Isaiah and give him a little bit money, somewhere in between 19 at best, but he's not getting the big contract. And I know he's like Lou Williams. He just wants to stay put, man. He just wants to sit and have a home and have a place that's like, hey, we're not going to trade you. You're going to be here for 4 years.
That.
We're going to try this with you.
Yeah. No,
it'll be
interesting. And he certainly deserves that. I feel so bad for the guy because I don't think he was ever going to get max money, but he was set to get paid in Boston. And this this kind of always happens when, you know, a team trades a player like that. You know, like, it's just kind of like how we were talking about Kemba, and I was like, I don't think Kemba will get max money, but, you know, well, if he was in Charlotte, he would get max money. But, you know, if you get traded.
If he was in Memphis, too.
Yeah, like,
I'm just
Mike
making
Conley,
fun of the,
like,
Conley thing.
Yeah, yeah, no, but I'm saying, like, Mike Conley, like, it's a perfect example. Like, he's not going to get max money if he gets traded the year before, and then, you know, it's just not going to happen. But, like, there's no way he's getting $19 million contract unless it's a one-year deal with, you know, a particular team. No, I mean, I want to say the Magic make a lot of sense, depending on their circumstances with, you know, what they do in the offseason. Obviously, they have to re-sign Aaron Gordon, but they need a point guard. The Suns could make some sense, you know, just to, you know, kind of get a veteran in there. But I think anything he signs is going to be a one-year deal. I don't think any of these teams are going to be interested in signing him, like, super long-term. But I don't think any team out there sees him as a long-term, viable asset to their franchise, which is – it sucks, man. Like, his contract situation was such that this injury happened, and he's, you know, going to be 30 years old. And he just has not proved that he could be even, like, really half of the player he was, like, borderline anyway. I feel terrible for the guy. I hope he at least gets a huge one-year contract. But there's not a lot of teams out there with cap space, and there are not a lot of teams out there that need point guards. And so the Venn diagram of those two things is hardly overlapping. But we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. I hope he –
I got one
honestly
team, though.
Oh, who?
I was thinking – I mean, I don't know if they had the money, but if they – I mean, you're not going to get a spectacular deal and maybe figure out things later if he signs for a deal. I think the Indiana Pacers would be really interesting with Isaiah Thomas because you need a little bit of
that
scoring.
Very true.
And all that. So now you have Isaiah and Victor Oladipo, and Oladipo's going to make up 100%. It's going to be like when he played with Avery Bradley. Oladipo might be right now slightly, just about running into some injuries, a better defender right now. And you have a Miles Turner behind you who's a defensive center and all that. So I think the Indiana Pacers make a lot of sense for him. And I don't know if they have money. Jared Carlson would be a good come-off-the-bench kind of guy too. So if, at first, Isaiah can't handle a ton of minutes, but I think they're a team. I just don't know if their money situation. I know they're not capped out and, like, hurting, but
no,
I think Indiana Pacers would be
not.
Smart if they
– The Pacers would be a good fit, and they do have some cap space. They have several different contracts that are team options next year. I think Darren Collison, Bojan Bogdanovic are both team options. I believe I want to say Lance Stevenson is as well. So that's like $25 million right there. And they're, you know, I feel like they have in general, like about maybe $10 million in cap space to begin with. So like that's possible. That's certainly a possibility. Not to mention Corey Joseph has a player option. Who knows if he'll accept it. I think that's about $7 million. So no, I like that a lot. In fact, I proposed a trade of Isaiah Thomas to the Indiana Pacers earlier in the season when he was with Cleveland. It was a three-team trade. I actually think that would probably be the best fit. Pairing him up with Victor Oladipo would be solid. But we need to wrap it up. Luke, thank you so much for joining me. It was a very fun episode, and hope all of you enjoyed it, and we will see you guys Monday at 9 o'clock.
Hey, thanks again for having me.
Yeah, man.
Peace.